fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Spain's national women's football team, which lifted its first World Cup trophy after defeating England 1-0 in the final at Sydney's Olympic Stadium. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Spain has won the Women's Football World Cup for the first time. A goal by Spanish captain Olga Carmona in the first half hour of the final was enough to defeat England in front of 75,000 fans at Sydney's Olympic Stadium. Spain's World Cup campaign was overshadowed by a dispute between many of its players and the Spanish Football Federation. At the heart of the internal frictions was a rift between coach Jorge Vilda and members of his squad. But those divisions were cast aside during a raucous final in Sydney. The tournament was co-hosted by Australia, which reached the semi-finals, and New Zealand, which failed to advance from the group stage of the competition. 32 women's teams started the competition. Both Australia and New Zealand are not traditional football nations, preferring instead other sports, including rugby and cricket. But the World Cup has given both countries a glimpse of football's power and popularity. The atmosphere at many of the 64 matches has been vibrant. Tal Karp, a former Australian international player, told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation Monday that the co-hosts have fully embraced the tournament.
It's been amazing. Just the concept of how many people have got behind this tournament. And you know what? The product was always there. It's just that finally it's been captured by the national consciousness. What has been beautiful about this particular competition is that it's finally captured national but also global attention.
The Women's World Cup began in 1991 and is held every 4 years. The competition's most successful team, the United States, has won the event 4 times, but was eliminated by Sweden in the knockout round of 16. Germany, a 2-time world champion, didn't progress from the beginning group stage. The competition's other past winners are Norway and Japan. Spain is just the 5th country to win the trophy. The victorious team returns home Monday to a jubilant reception from Spanish supporters. In determining 3rd and 4th place, Sweden defeated Australia 2-0 in Brisbane on Saturday. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Thanks, Phil. English football fans were disappointed over the result of the Women's World Cup final, but some also expressed hope for the future. These English fans watched the final at an indoor venue at London's Wembley Stadium.
Obviously devastated not to win, but so, so proud of the girls. They've done so far, best thing ever done. And their legacy will live on. Like, I'm looking up my local teams, I'm getting into it. I'm feeling like all my friends are, we want to support women. So they might have not won, and it's so sad, but they've done so much for women's football, and that's what matters.
Gutted, absolutely gutted, but still very proud. I thought they did put an amazing fight, and they could come back to this country with their heads held very high. It'll happen, it'll definitely happen in the next 4 years' time, we'll win it.
We're so proud. We're proud of the girls. If we're going to see in that last 20 minutes in the first half, we loved it.
It's coming 3 years. I see in the next 3 years, it's going to match the men's football in the next 5 years. I personally reckon it's going to get bigger and bigger.
It will go even more. You know, you can see by the response of people now watching it. The Super League and the Women's Super League. You know, you've got the crowds are coming in, and so when we played, we never had anything like that, and it's just grown and grown. And I just hope it continues to do so.
Very sad. I think we're women footballers here. We play for Wakefield Football Club, and if they had won, it would have been
been listening to English football fans who watched the Women's World Cup final in London. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Prince Nesta joins us once again with a look at some of the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Moroccan striker Naif Agued, Lucas Paquetá, and Mikel Antonio all netted to help 10-man West Ham secure a 3-1 win against Chelsea in a match that was played at the London Stadium. Austrian midfielder of Nigerian descent Kenny Chukwuemeka had earlier rifled a superb solo strike into the far corner to score the Blues' consolation goal. Chelsea are still waiting for their first competitive win in the Premier League, while the Hammers moved up to 6th spot in the standings. Here's Chelsea's Argentine boss Mauricio Pochettino's verdict on his team's performance.
Today, the result doesn't reflect the performance, but in football we need to accept that this type of situation happened. I think the first half was really good. Only that disappointed. What I can tell you that I am so disappointed, like the players are very disappointed in the way that we concede the goal, the first goal, because we start the game knowing that West Ham is so dangerous in set pieces, corners and transition. I think we managed well the transition, but I think we concede few corners that in this type of level we cannot concede, and then then we concede the goal. That is a little bit is about to be disappointed about that, and we need to work really hard. I was really upset on the halftime about that. I think the players were agree and feel the same.
Thus, Chelsea's head coach Mauricio Pochettino speaking after his team's loss against West Ham in the Premier League. Egyptian forward Mo Salah moved past Steven Gerrard in the all-time Liverpool goalscorers list after helping his side to a thrilling 3-1 win over Bournemouth. Guinean striker Antoine Semenyo opened the scoring for the Cherries before Luis Diaz finished acrobatically to level the proceedings. Salah then slotted home the second before Portuguese forward Diogo Jota tapped into an empty net to seal the deal. This was a routine victory for the Reds, who last lost an away match against Bournemouth in 1927. Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp also shared his thoughts on the match.
Horrible start into the game. I thought the first goal we conceded when it was offside was okay, then it's a wake-up call. Good. Let's take that. I'll take a take like that, and then about a minute later we conceded a regular goal, which is not really cool. Need a few minutes to shake it off, but then we were really good. Scored two super goals, played really good football. I think for 25, nearly 30 minutes, first half was really good after the start, which was not good. Yeah, then second half, we wanted to keep going, and then the game changed completely because we were all of a sudden on 10 men, but scored the third goal, which is very, very helpful in this moment. Gave us for sure energy, and now we have a second match day, so it's still really tough for everybody. It was surprisingly hot today, so it was really intense for the boys, but we fought through that and didn't concede anymore. Deserve the 3 points, and that's everything I need.
That's Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp speaking after his team's win against Bournemouth in the Premier League. Senegalese midfielder Pape Matar Sarr scored early in the second half as Lisandro Martinez added an own goal to help Tottenham secure a 2-0 win over Manchester United. Spurs were playing for the first time at home since their record goalscorer Harry Kane departed for Bayern Munich. Spurs' new boss Ange Postecoglou shared thoughts on his team's performance.
Atmosphere was incredible. Our supporters were outstanding today. Just, yeah, you know, the energy they created, you know, in the stadium right from the first whistle was just brilliant. And to be honest, I thought it helped us. So in the first half, I thought we just looked a bit nervous and a bit edgy for sort of half an hour or so, and probably fortunate to still be in the game. We just, you know, we're giving the ball away cheaply and allowing them to sort of, you know, come at us. But at the same time, it's not surprising. We had, you know, a couple of 20-year-olds out there, a 22-year-old, a couple of 23-year-olds. It's a really young team we're putting out there. But I just thought there was really encouraging signs towards the end of the first half and the last sort of 5-10 minutes. And, you know, we got them in half-time and just sort of settled them down a little bit. And I thought the boys were brilliant. They came out, great energy, took the game to Man U and scored a good goal, and then, you know, didn't stop from there, you know. Had to defend, but we did that well. Vic pulled off a couple of good saves, so, you know, encouraging signs there.
That's Tottenham's new boss, Ange Postecoglou, speaking after his team's win against Manchester United in the Premier League. Julian Alvarez's brilliant first-half strike was also enough to ensure defending champions Manchester City registered a 1-0 win over Newcastle United. City boss Pep Guardiola commented on his team's performance.
This is the second game of the season, but it's a proof that the reason why we won a lot. So the mindset and the mentality of this group of players amaze me every time, surprise me every time. So against that team and the conditions that we arrive with a lot of injuries and no rest, and a part of that they play really, really well. A part of that and the defense, how they run, is the commitment for everyone was absolutely amazing.
That's Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola speaking after his team's emphatic victory against Newcastle United in the Premier League. League leaders Brighton scored 3 goals in 10 minutes to secure a 4-1 thumping of Wolves at the Molineux Stadium. Kaoru Mitoma opened the scoring in the 15th minute before Pavlis Stupinin made it 2-0. A quick fire breath from Solly March in the 51st and 55th minute was enough to help the Seagulls top the standings. Brighton will be back in action next Saturday against West Ham, while Wolves will head to the northwest of England to take on Everton at Goodison Park. French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored from the penalty spot on his Paris Saint-Germain return to help his team secure a 1-1 draw against Toulouse. Zakaria Abouhlal leveled late into the game to prevent the Parisians from securing the full 3 points. PSG sit 11th in the table, while Toulouse moved up to 7th. Nigerian forward Ako Adams scored his 3rd goal in the French league as leaders Montpellier trounced Lyon by 4-1. Japanese striker Takumi Minamino also scored twice as Monaco secured a 3-0 win against Racing Strasbourg, while Metz battled back from a goal down to earn a 2-2 draw against Marseille. And finally, in the Spanish La Liga, England striker Jude Bellingham scored twice to help Real Madrid come from behind to beat Almeria by 3-1. Brazilian star Vinicius Jr. added the 3rd to wrap up Los Blancos' victory at the Powerhouse Stadium, with Spanish player Sergio Arribas registering the consolation goal for the hosts. Late goals from Pedri and Ferran Torres also helped Barcelona cruise to a 2-0 win against Cadiz. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. It's day 3 at the World Athletics Championships in Budapest, Hungary. In one of the big highlights from day 2, American Noah Lyles won his first 100 meters world title, clocking 9.83 seconds, the fastest time in the world this year.
I think this is just proof for everybody else. I already knew that I was the world champion, but, you know... Gosh, it feels good to be able to say that I'm the fastest man and actually have proof with it.
Noah Lyles is a 2-time world champion at 200 meters
In Budapest, in the 100 meters, he finished ahead of Botswana's Letsile Tabogo, who set a national record with a time of 9.88 seconds.
I'm really happy for the silver medal. And for us, it's a bonus because the main goal was just to finish in the final. So this is a bonus for me and my coach. I didn't imagine to be that close because he's the world lead. And I knew they would go and I would just come behind them. And for me, when I was neck in neck with them, I was really happy because it's something that we would want to work on as going forward.
In another African highlight from Budapest, Uganda's Joshua Cheptegei won his third world title at 10,000 meters, clocking 27 minutes and 51.42 seconds. Cheptegei said after the race, he's now thinking of moving up to the marathon distance.
Maybe it's a time for me to shift now for the marathon because it's been always a very smooth journey and always there has to be like some challenges, especially with injuries, especially sometimes losing the form. But all the same, I'm really happy to have won my third world title.
Meanwhile, Kenya's Daniel Abenya won the silver medal in the men's 10,000 meters race, and Ethiopia's Seleman Barega won the bronze.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In African men's basketball, Cameroon beat Senegal to win a FIBA Olympic pre-qualifying tournament in Lagos, Nigeria. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Nigeria's commercial capital.
Cameroon's national men's basketball team defeated Senegal 80-74 to win the FIBA Olympic pre-qualifying tournament. The game was played at Eco Hotel in Lagos. Cameroon will play another qualifying tournament next year to select the team that will represent Africa at the Paris 2024 Olympic Games. Sammy Gbekom scored 19 points for Cameroon, while Youssouf Ndoye made 18 points for Senegal. Alfred Aboya is the head coach of Cameroon's national men's basketball team.
I'm so happy. So great to, you know, to see the progress. So great to see the result of your hard working, the result of your, you know, building the team. Because, like I mentioned in the press conference, Cameroon finished 16 out of 16 in the last Afro Basketball, got eliminated from the World Cup qualifier. Now we're trying to rebuild, and it's great to see the progress at such a rapid pace that we're hitting right now.
Aboya says more players will be called to camp for the FIBA Olympic qualifying tournament next year. Amadou Moji, assistant coach of the Senegalese team, says despite the loss, his team did very well.
It's a game of basketball. The first, second quarter, it's got a lot of, they shoot like 52% from the three-point line in that first half. I think like in a game of basketball, you cannot allow your opponent to have that margin of difference in the game. Then you have to chase them back throughout the whole game. I think like our discipline defensively, not being able to contest their three-point shots in the first half kind of hurt us. And then it became us just trying to chase them down back. But I'm proud of the guys. They play very hard. And, you know, like we got a young team. We're just going to grow and keep developing.
Julian Farrell, head of competitions for FIBA Africa, says the FIBA Olympic pre-qualifying tournament lived up to expectation.
We can say that the tournament went well. We see good teams. The level was very interesting. And we think that the best team will represent Africa at the Olympic qualifiers. Also, regarding the tournament, we want to congratulate the Nigeria Basketball Federation for the innovation with this new gym, with this new concept, and all the organization and what they did for this tournament.
Omar Abada, point guard of Tunisia's national men's basketball team, says the standard of play at the tournament is an indication that the game has improved in the continent.
I think the tournament is very good. I think African teams are doing better, are doing a good job to improve basketball level. I think year by year you see better talent, better basketball players, and it's good for the continent. Now every country can compete and can go to the World Cup or Olympic Games.
Alfred Agoya, head coach of Cameroon's national men's basketball team, says the team's victory is a call for hard work. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Thanks, Iron Mike.
This is Colonel Sam Amedu, retired President FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Colonel Sam. And I hope you, Iron Mike Mbonye, and all our Sunny Side of Sports listeners are having a good day. The FIBA Men's Basketball World Cup tips off on Friday, August 25th. The 32-team tournament will be held in three countries, Japan, the Philippines, and Indonesia. Five African teams, Angola, Cape Verde, Egypt, Ivory Coast, and South Sudan, will compete at the Basketball World Cup. South Sudan and Cape Verde are both making their debuts. I asked Cape Verde's veteran guard, Jeff Xavier, for his reaction after the team qualified for its first Basketball World Cup.
Well, when it first happened, I honestly couldn't stop crying, to be honest. My emotions completely took over. It was like a feeling I definitely couldn't explain. It's impossible to really explain unless if you're actually going through it. So it's like, you know, it's for me, it's definitely one of the biggest basketball accomplishment of my career. So I'm glad to be a part of this history of Cape Verde.
Cape Verdean basketball fans, Jeff, I'm guessing they might have sent you a few social media messages.
Oh man, I've never had as many messages in my life. It actually took me like about 3 or 4 days consecutively to respond to everyone. It was overwhelming, but I was just on a high for so many days that it was just like a great feeling to respond to all these fans and to understand how big this is for Cape Verde.
Jeff, talk about your history with Cape Verde's national basketball team.
Well, I've been playing since the pre-qualifications of the Olympics in summer of 2007. That was the year, that was the same year when they made it. They were silver in AfroBasket in 2007. So that was my first year playing. It's been 16 years, and finally we go to the World Cup. And so it's a great way to, you know, to go out.
Jeff, I understand Cape Verde's head coach recruited you to come back for this World Cup qualifying campaign.
Yes, correct. There are actually a few players also that kept writing me because they really wanted me to be there for the, you know, to get them to the World Cup. And, you know, I said no a lot of times because I felt like I was really done with basketball, but you know, I had to just go just to try and get us to the World Cup, and we did, and it was a great decision on my behalf.
The World Cup will be held in three Asian countries, Japan, Indonesia, and the Philippines. Have you ever played in any of those countries?
No, never. So this is, like, really big for me. I'm really excited about it.
Jeff, you have extensive European playing experience. Do you think that will help you when you get on the court for your first FIBA Basketball World Cup?
Oh, yeah, for sure, 100%. You know, I've been playing in Europe for 13 years, and I know their game. You know, it's about it's really about skill. It's about 5-on-5, you know, playing 40 minutes. It's completely different from African basketball. African basketball, it's more, you know, athletic, running up and down. Here, it's just about, you know, a lot of skill and a lot of patience and a lot of teamwork. So, and great coaching. So it's you know, it's a bit different, but yeah, for sure. Playing 13 years in Europe for sure is going to help me in this tournament.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice
of America. I'm talking with Jeff Xavier, veteran guard for Cape Verde's national basketball team, which has qualified for its first FIBA Basketball World Cup. Jeff, looking back on the African qualifying competition, was it difficult?
It was brutal, actually. One game, honestly, felt like three games in one. You really had to go in there with absolute mental toughness, physical toughness, and you just had to really, really play from the second one. If you missed out on playing at least 2 or 3 minutes, if you took a few plays off, you will lose that game. It doesn't matter who you play against, and that was the mentality that we tried to go into every game. So for me, I really, especially after the one game of that African qualifying, it was very hard for me and my body and to recover after each game. So, oh man, it was very difficult.
At 37, you're one of the older players on Cape Verde. Do you think you might need more rest during the FIBA Basketball World Cup?
No, I think I'll be completely fine. Well, this part, the reason also is because I didn't have much, personally, I didn't have much time to prepare. I only had 2 weeks. I basically had 2 weeks to prepare my body and haven't played in like 7 months. So it was tough for me to, you know, bounce back like that. But for sure, I have a lot of time to prepare, and I've been preparing my body.
Jeff, do you get back to Cape Verde very often?
Yeah, I was actually in Cape Verde a few months ago. Actually, yeah, a couple months ago with my family, with my wife and my daughter. We went for 2 weeks so I can train there before the qualifying tournament. But I've been there about 4 or 5 times.
The 4 other African teams that will compete at the FIBA Basketball World Cup are Angola, Egypt, Ivory Coast, and South Sudan. Jeff, how do you rate the South Sudanese?
I honestly think they're, besides us, I believe they're probably the best team in Africa right now. I love the way they play. They're well coached. They're long. They have skill, athletic. They have a complete team. I think South Sudan is probably the best team in Africa as we speak.
And what about Ivory Coast? You played them in the qualifying competition.
Yes, Ivory Coast. I love Ivory Coast. Well, their coach, he's from Spain. He actually coached me. He was my head coach my last year in Spain. So I know for sure that they're well coached, the guy, and he's one of the best coaches in Spain. So they're very well, because most importantly, they have a great, great coach. So as far as talent, they're talented, but for me, I think South Sudan definitely had more talent and more skill on their team. But I think Ivory Coast is the best coach team in Africa, for sure.
Jeff, you're talking with me now from the U.S. state of Rhode Island, which I understand has a very high concentration of Portuguese and Cape Verdeans.
It's full of them over here, Portuguese and Cape Verdeans. This is basically in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. That's the two states with the most Portuguese and Cape Verdeans. All of our athletes, all the basketball players from Cape Verde, if they outside of Cape Verde, is usually in Rhode Island, Massachusetts. I don't think I've ever had a teammate outside of Rhode Island, Massachusetts.
That's Jeff Xavier, a guard for Cape Verde's national men's basketball team. And Jeff spoke with me by telephone from Providence, Rhode Island. Cape Verde will play Georgia on Saturday, August 26th, in Okinawa, Japan, in its first game at the FIBA Basketball World Cup. And that wraps up the August 21st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
And that's the sunny side of sports.